Okay, guys, so I have a little bit of instruction as we do this morning. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles quickly, and I promise, quickly. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, first off here. We're going to look at three passages quickly. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. First Corinthians 14, 29, we're going to read through 33, just to give ourselves some instructions this morning of how we're going to do this. It says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. So I want to point this out. We didn't pre-screen any of these words. That's not my job. It's not the church's leadership job to feel the word and say, is this the Lord? And then we'll let him share it. Our job is to create an environment for the gifts to grow, for the people to learn and to minister. It's your job to weigh the words that are given. You weigh them by the Holy Spirit and by the Word. So that's, again, I just wanted to point that out. For us to receive these words today, Mark is going to be taking down these words on a spreadsheet so we can look at them as a leadership team later. We'll have them recorded. But this is for you to maybe grab a piece of paper and something, just write things down if it resonates with you, just to bring it back before the Lord and say, God, is you speaking? If anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. We may have 20 people want to share this morning. I don't know. We'll see what the response is. I think there'll be a few. And I need you guys to look across here and say, wow, there's 20 people and we have 40 minutes. I'm going to keep it short so I can sit by and someone else can prophesy as well. Okay, but that's up to you to do as well. That's your job as someone who's bringing a word this morning. Now, it will become my job if you stay up here. Then I got to come up here and kind of stand awkwardly by you and eventually take the mic. Okay, but I do want, that's on your heart to kind of look around and just, be aware of other people that want to share. You can all prophesy one by one. That's the way we're going to do this. We're just going to have them come up. We're going to have one by one share. And then it says, I love this, that we can all learn and that we could all be encouraged. So we're going to really, we want to make a way in the order of this so that everybody can be encouraged and everybody can learn together. And that's what we're going to do, it one by one. We're going to do it in order. We're going to submit to one another's time. Okay? And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What does this mean? It means that you don't get to say this, the Lord made me say this today. It's your spirit is subject to you, and you're going to bring this word, however, according to your own spirit, and you need to be aware of that. And I know when the Lord begins to move and the anointing's there, it can tend to be a little dramatic, and I need you to look at this verse and say, no, I'm subject to my spirit, subject to myself. I don't need to, run up and grab the mic, or if I'm screaming and people are distracted by that, I need to stop screaming and just give the word normally, okay? Now, I don't want to shut down how the Lord moves with you, but we don't need to get dramatic up here. We don't need to say, thus saith the Lord, and change our voice and shake or anything like that for effect, okay? The Lord, the prophetic word doesn't get clearer if you yell it, okay? Now, at the same time, if the Lord's really moving on you and you're weeping or you get a little bit, your volume, I'm not going to shut that down. I just want you to be aware that he says this because how many of you know sometimes if we get overzealous in our drama, everybody's not encouraged and everybody doesn't learn, right? So he says this, that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as in all the churches, including Restoration Fellowship this morning. Okay, let's look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And as we turn there, I want to say this. If you did not come up and talk to me about bringing a word this morning, you're still very welcome to do that. If you feel like the Lord has given you something to share, I want you to do that. So in a minute, I'll give you instructions of how. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 through 21. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. This is an interesting thing. Why would we despise prophecy? I want you to think about that. Like, why would you say, let's stop this? I'll give you a couple of my own reasons. Because one, sometimes it's real immature. And it's just, sometimes it's super unclear. Sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes I know the person that's bringing the prophecy, and I'm not really sure about them personally, or I don't know them, and it affects the way I receive that prophecy. And so I'm tending to despise it. There's a tendency in our hearts as people share to go, that's not the Lord, or it is the Lord, based on how it's coming across to us. But he says, no, we're to all say that the Holy Spirit can speak through anybody. It's a gift of grace, not of merit. No one deserves to prophesy because they live a better life. And we're not to despise this. As it happens, if someone's having a hard time communicating up here, if someone's doesn't make any sense to you, don't despise that. Let's let this thing grow and mature and receive these words with joyful hearts and just learn together. Okay, test all things. He says, don't despise it, but go ahead and test it. So we're going to take these words. We're going to say, Lord, is this you? Or is this you sharing this? And then we're to respond. Okay, and I'll go to that now. Jeremiah 27:18, and this is my final one. And this is important for us, guys. This is important for us because there is a responsibility on our part to respond to these prophetic words. Jeremiah 27:18. The Lord says something really interesting about prophetic ministry. Verse 18, he says, but if they're prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. So it says this, we're not just to do this. Someone gets up here and says, you know, I feel like the Lord's really spoken and said there's going to be a massive revival in the youth of Pagosa this year. We're not supposed to go, praise God, amen, move on. He's just going to do that. We're to take this, put it on our prayer list, and say, Lord, save the youth in Pagosa for the entire in 2020. We're going to contend, we're going to intercede for the words the Lord gives us. We have a role to play. And so he says this, if these words this morning are of the Lord, let those who've received those words of the Lord begin to pray that they would manifest. He's looking for partnership. So the prophetic thing this morning isn't just us to hear and celebrate. It's for us to hear and participate in what the Lord wants to do. Does that make sense? Okay, that being said, here's my instructions. I need everybody that wants to share, come up in these front rows, because we want to maximize our time this morning. And so if I kind of have someone wander up from the back and the person gives the word and goes sit down and we sit up here for 5 minutes waiting for someone else to have the courage to come up, we're not going to maximize our time. And I know that there's many people, so just come on up and get in these chairs, please. And then, you know, some of you might need the next 5 minutes for the Lord to drum up the courage in you. You can come up, you know, as the meeting goes on. But I need you sitting up here so I know you want to share, okay? Mark, I'm going to go ahead and have you start. And then, is Scott in here yet? When Scott comes in, Scott's in our nursery. And when he comes in, we need to give him a hand because he's an awesome nursery guy. But he's going to get some relief just for a minute and come in, share a word, and then go back and watch the three-year-olds again. So as soon as Scott comes in, we're just going to defer to him and give him the mic. Okay, I'm going to pray. You guys want to pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for prophecy. We thank you for impressions, for visions, for dreams, for people that just feel like they have a sense of what you're saying and doing in our church family, what you're saying and wanting to do in our church family in 2020. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would speak through these weak vessels. Lord, that you would speak through us, and that we would receive these words in faith, that we would judge them, that we would test them, and that we would respond in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that through this morning, that you would strengthen us. God, that you would encourage us in Jesus' name of how you're leading us in 2020. Lord, we humble ourselves before you and ask that you would lead us. That it wouldn't be our ideas, that it wouldn't be our things that we bring to the table in 2020, but we would be responding to what you're wanting to do in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess last thing. The last thing. We need to have an environment here where it's okay to not get this perfect. And maybe that message was real heavy, you know, the instructions. I didn't want it to be. I wanted it to be safe. I want us to feel safe this morning that we're allowed to judge these words. We're allowed to miss it, and no one's going to get after us. We're all learned this is prophecy by faith. Okay, so Mark, go ahead and kick it off, and then Scott, we'll go to you, okay? Okay.
All right, thus saith the Lord. No, just kidding around. So the two things I thought about were things that came in prayer and, you know, this idea, something just resonates with you. It's like God puts a pin in it, you think. And so that's the two things I was thinking. One was this phrase, he who has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. When we studied Revelation, it was given to every one of the seven churches. If the Spirit says something, if you have an ear, hear it. And I was thinking this is just a tune-up for us to say, man, I want to have an open ear to hear what God's saying. So I'm just opening my heart and to hear what the Spirit says. And the other idea of that is this is not just an internal, like, I discern this is what the Spirit says, so that was it. But we confirm with other people, like, that's a plug for life groups, that we have places where we can say, this is what I'm thinking, what do you guys feel? And then we really are careful to say, is this in the Scripture? So that was the first thing I heard for this year and really for the words this morning is, what is the Spirit saying? So to discern, is this the Spirit speaking? The thing that really resonated with me was something that came out in prayer was just saying the return of the prodigal. Like we have physical children, spiritual children that are all over the place and have been all over the place. And I feel like this is a year when God's going to call them back. And as you read that story out of Luke 15, it's so wild that this son that leaves, it says he wasted his wealth in riotous living or in wasted living, New King James. So I just see these people that have this inheritance from God, and they're just out there just wasting their life. They're not really using their inheritance in the kingdom. They're just wasting their life. And it's a time where the Scripture says they come to their senses. And they come back and they think, I've got to earn my way back in. And God the Father say, no, 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 come on in. Here's my robe, here's the ring, let's kill a fatted calf, right? And it's so a year that the prodigal's returning. And then our place is to be careful that we're not like the elder son, because we're the guys that are here, right? And the elder son got mad when the father was celebrating the return. He said, I've been working years and years. How come you never killed a goat for me to celebrate with my friends? And so I'm thinking, what is our attitude as people are coming back? How can we just be open and embrace them and realize that the Father says, all I have is yours. It's always been yours. And so we just sort of say, yeah, bring them back, Lord, you know, because there's a lot of people that it's on our heart, right? We feel sad that people aren't in it with God. They're not engaged with God, but they have been, and we know them. And so that's what I felt.
Okay, so we were here, we had the 3 days of prayer and fasting. We were here and worshiping and just sharing words like we're doing today. And during that whole time, I was here two of those nights, but that whole time, I kept getting this word that I remembered from the book of Joshua, when Joshua was talking to the people of Israel. And then two of the things that I remember of those first two nights was Cole had shared a really important word about obedience. Justin was taking us to the place of just seeing Jesus as the high priest. And the more that was going on, the more this phrase just kept repeating in my head. And so I thought, well, I better look that up. And so I did, and then I realized, holy smokes, okay. God spoke that word to Joshua. Moses spoke that word to Joshua. Joshua spoke it to the children of Israel. David spoke it to Solomon. Isaiah spoke it to Israel. So this word in the Old Testament was very, very strong and repeated often. And that phrase is, be strong and courageous. Okay? The children of Israel, yeah, were about to enter into the promised land, and God had that word for them. And so as I was looking at that and remembering what Cole was saying and what Justin was doing, what we were all doing, those things are all tied together because we're all trying to find our place in the kingdom of God. And so Joshua was saying this. He says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And then God speaks to Joshua and he says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you, not turning to the right or the left. And I remember that was your admonishment to us. And yours just now, to stick to God's word, compare everything that's going on to God's word. And, you know, as we're entering into this new season, this new time, this new place, I think that is just extraordinarily important. Jesus is the high priest, so not only does he intercede for us, but he also brings the word, the living word of God to us. Because in Deuteronomy 30, right before Joshua is saying all this to the people, God said this. It says, for this commandment, and this is God saying this, this commandment which I commanded you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, well, who will ascend into heaven and bring that word to us so that we can hear it and do it? He says, nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, well, who will cross the sea and bring that word back to us that we can hear it and do it. But God says, but the word is very near you, in your mouth, and in your heart, that you may do it. So he's the one who makes us strong and courageous to do his word. Then the very next thing he says is, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. So in other words, he's saying, okay, everyday life is going to be a mess. Some days are going to be glorious. Some days are just going to be, you know, life as it is, and some days are going to be very, very hard, and a lot of us are experiencing that kind of thing right now, and will. So Moses spoke to Israel, and he said, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid of them, meaning the people of that whose land they were about to take. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And what that says, what I think that means to us, is that God was with us yesterday. He's with us right here, right now, and he's going to be with us when we get up in the morning. And then Moses spoke to Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to you, and you will cause them to inherit it. So we're helping each other embrace the kingdom of God. That particular verse, that's at the end of Deuteronomy, and it follows that whole section where the Israelites are getting the blessings and cursings, and this is exactly what Justin was talking about last Sunday. See, that's all this stuff tied together, and I didn't know that until I just started looking up some of these verses, right? And Deuteronomy 30, God says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, okay? That both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice. Okay, again, there's this whole obedience thing, the whole, you know, Jesus bringing us the living word. And then Joshua says to the people of Israel, right when they're getting ready to cross the river, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside to the right or the left. Later on, David said it to Solomon, be strong and good courage, of good courage, because God was setting him up to build the house of the Lord. David says, be of good courage in Psalms 31, and he will strengthen your heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. And then Isaiah was telling the people of Israel, everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So that's this ministry we have to one another. Last week, Gary even said, it was one of his parting words, what you hear, just speak it, speak it, speak it, just like we're doing today. And God even told Moses to go and encourage Joshua. It says, encourage him, strengthen him, for he shall go over with us people and cause them to inherit the land. The apostle said something like that when they were writing all their letters and ministering to all the churches. But the phrase they used was, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So what we have is very similar. So anyway, I just want to speak, if you will, strength and courage into all of you. Okay, and we can speak it to one another. We do that every Sunday. Just be strong in the Lord. Hear his voice. Be strong to obey his word. Just rejoice in your relationship with Jesus because he loves you so much and he's giving you the kingdom of God. Thank you.
Now, I told you we were going to give him a hand because this guy volunteers in the nursery almost monthly doing sound. So thank you. Thank you for taking a moment away from the kids and all the work you do for us. Gail, come on up. Good work.
I'm just going to refer to some of the words that I wrote down. And a lot of times the kind of thing that God does with me are to show me pictures. So let me just take a minute here. I lost my... Yeah. Well, one thing I know God said about 220 had to do with seeing eye angels, that he wanted to give us seeing eye angels for 220, and that he was going to rebuild infrastructures. So that was something I didn't want to forget. Just give me 1 minute. Does someone else want to go and I'll come back? Yeah, why don't you hop up here? Maybe I was supposed to do that.
Amen. I wrote a bunch of things down here. I'm just going to go through them as I wrote them. But the first thing that I felt personally from the Lord for 2020 is light and illumination, illuminating revelation in the Word. It's the year of the mouth and the year of light. So we need to take authority. We need to speak with the mouth. Decree a thing, declare a thing, proclaim a thing. There's going to be light on your words. So as you're speaking in your jobs or people all around, realize that God is anointing your words. And to eat from the table of the Lord and to pray from that place, that there's power in praying. So in eating from the table of the Lord is like eating his light. It's eating the glory. And as we eat from that table, it kind of looks like remembering the oppressed, he said. It's remembering the oppressed, the depressed, the suppressed, the broken, the bound up, the blind, the naked, and the homeless. And as we eat from that table, it's going to bring light to our bodies, and that means healing is going to come to our bodies. Anybody that has illness, any kind of illness, disease, as we eat from the table of the Lord, we're going to eliminate disease. We're going to eliminate death. And so that was one thing he told me was for 2020 or even this era, the new era that we're walking and coming into. So there's the healing coming, there's recompense, The Lord is bringing recompense and inheritance, inheritance that you didn't even know that you have coming. It's going to come. The Lord is maturing love within us, so that can be kind of difficult sometimes. So the Lord is correcting things in us and growing us up in love and the maturity of what that looks like. I had a dream just recently. Just a short part of the dream was the Lord was driving our car, my car, and it was a scary drive. He was kind of veering off the road, looking at something else, and I'm like, "Hello, come back over here." And he's like, oh, sorry. And he pulls it back over. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I'm okay in this car. And then the next thing I know, we're kind of passing a tractor on a trailer. And there's, like, a car coming. And he's like, okay, we got to push the gas. We're going around this thing. And I'm like, what? We can't go around this thing right now. No. And he just presses the gas down, and we are accelerated full throttle. And I'm like, oh! And we make it around just in time. He doesn't even have to touch his brakes, the other guy. And I'm just like, oh, that was a close one. And so here we are coming up on some close encounters. So maybe some close encounters ahead, not easy situations, maybe some grit your teeth kind of things. But when we get there, and we were going to the house of prayer, which was interesting. I was like, wow, okay, we're going to the house of prayer. And he said, it's a hard road back to my house of prayer. And so I was like, all right, Lord. But when we got there, I felt... I was maybe a little bit bruised up, and my rib was hurting, and I was like, oh, my rib's hurting, but I felt like the Lord was saying, now we're here, and now it's time for healing. So there's going to be a time for healing, specifically for your healing, in the coming days ahead. Last year, I gave a word about the children leading us. They're going to be leading us in a big thing. The Lord gave me a little bit more about that. He said to pay attention to the children. He said to play with them, enjoy them, watch them, because they're leading us in to the place of being able to be led forth with joy. So the Lord is bringing us back into joy. He's awakening our hearts to what it looks like to have joy again. So watch the children. Says, so the last one is Psalms 34:8, and that's what I feel like all of this 2020 year is going to look like, is to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.
Awesome. Okay, I found it now. This is something that I thought was specific to Pagosa. I see God paving a direct roadway into Pagosa. I see a chariot carrying a covenantal scroll into this land containing earthly and heavenly mandates. God is asking not just for witnesses, but for those called to take notes and deliver messages into the area of refuge. He is also saying to set up for court in the heavenlies. He will be sending many to join him in bringing edicts and verdicts to the land, to establish a dwelling place for the spirit of counsel to reside in this location. I see a heavenly courthouse. Above the door, etched in stone, I see the words, "No weapon formed against my remnant will stand." There is an ancient heavenly portal that's been active near Pagosa for many years. I see high-ranking angels preparing to dispatch from this location. I see a bolt of lightning hitting the earth and a gateway suddenly being put in place. The gateway faces east to west. I see God taking his almighty hands and aligning the portal and gateway outside into the exact location over another portal. So I saw him like dragging this portal that was existing to a place near the river here in Pagosa, I see a doormat then. I look over, I'm kind of seeing all these things. I see a doormat going into the courthouse from standing near the river with the words on the doormat, "The enemy will forever be under your feet." God is saying, get ready to move his heavenly court into this area. He is sending decrees established before the founding of America. The chaos in this area will be silenced. I hear stampedes of horses I've heard so often before in the background. Outside the courthouse, I also see a lamppost and chairlift I've seen in another vision I had for Pagosa a while back, where this chairlift was taking people from this location to Israel. So all of a sudden, I'm standing at this courthouse, and I see the lamppost again and the chairlift. And I see again that this lamppost where people are being taken from Israel, this courthouse and this portal are being all aligned. So I'm trusting that these are spiritual pictures, but I also think he's doing things in the natural that have to do with courthouses and edicts and things like that as well. So,
okay, first I want to start with, for me, this three-day fast was the most precious fast I've ever had, and that I had a very strong word on the first night to be strong and hang on. And so the rest of the 3 days till today, I was like going, what does that mean? Is it just for me, or is it for the church and those around who I touch? You know, and so it was very clear when two times I've experienced the hand of God come just like bursting out of heaven. And the first time was, I got to take you back so you understand, was in like, I think it was 2001, and I literally was in a cloud, a black cloud, where I believed I was dying. I wasn't afraid, and I wasn't angry, but I was just not there. And my oldest daughter, Selena, would say, "Mom, you're not sick." She said, "You got to eat." And I don't know how long I hadn't eaten, like a week at least. And she would keep saying that, "Mom, you're not sick." And so then Ben started getting concerned, and he called Sharon DeBoer. And so Sharon DeBoer told me what to do. I came and had prayer, and during prayer, the hand of God came out of heaven strong and touched me, and I was totally delivered. I got home, and I was starving. We went and partied, and I ate. And then, so I go, what does this mean? And he said, there's a lot of people that are in that blackness now, and that this year, it wasn't just to be strong. It was like when my hand was up, the other time he touched me, this time he like grabbed a hold of me firmly. And he says, "You got this." And so you guys who were suffering with that blackness or are just a cloud that you can't let go of, God can, and he will hang on to you if you hang on to him.
All right. Oh, I didn't mean to be that loud. I feel like the Lord is saying, I am reawakening a standard of purity in this season of 2020. My heart is for my people. I am inviting them to let me encounter them in the grind of their lives, which will allow me to influence them in the midst of their struggles and places of vulnerability. I want to raise a banner of purity over them, much like I did over David. When David was anointed king by Samuel, I placed a banner of purity over him that impacted the way others saw him. In 1 Samuel 16:18, we see this reality come to pass. It says, "Then one of the servants answered and said, 'Look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech and handsome in person, and the Lord is with him.' I sense the Lord saying, I am calling my bride to awaken to the calling and anointing I have proclaimed over her. For just as I led David from shepherd to king, I long to lead my people from where they are into my destiny for them. But just as David was faithful to me in shepherding, so I am calling faithfulness now, right where you are, into my bride. Purity isn't who you become when you get the raise, the promotion, or the anointed, or our anointed king. Purity is who you are as the shepherd when no one is looking, and the bear or lion grabs a sheep. Listen to David as he confronts the king, King Saul. In Samuel 17, 34 through 37, it says, And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. I sense the Lord saying, From this place of purity, in the mundane or ordinary, David found strength to fulfill his destiny. Find me. Find strength in the current place you are. Reawaken purity and let's conquer giants together. Let me place a banner of purity over you that changes your view of yourself and others' view around you into how and who I see you as.
Good morning. I'm Christine Jones, where I see a couple new faces of people that I don't know here. So I have been coming to Restoration Fellowship when it was Community Baptist Church since I was 15. Bible. It's a long time ago. So I started coming here at 15 years old, and I'm in my 30s now. My daughter considers me old, so you know. Anyways, my word's really practical, and as I was praying over this year, it's kind of hard. Sometimes I don't even want to really try to pray for a word for the, 2020 year, because you kind of feel like all this pressure, what's 2020 going to be? And is 2019, not even valid anymore, you know? So I don't know. That's just me. But as I was praying over the year, the Lord just spoke to me really simply, and he said, this is a year of health for my church. And I said, oh, great, healings. And he says, no, and he spoke to me very specifically about five areas of health that he is going to start moving his bride into this year. And so one is marriage, two is family, and I love the prodigal, and I love the joy. I thought that was so good. So three is financial health, four is physical health, and five is your health with your love for the Lord, in your faith and your walk with the Lord. And so so he was like, that is my want for the church. And then he told me, because I'm part prophet, part teacher, mostly mom, but he said, it was really funny because a lot of young kids don't know who John Wayne is anymore. I don't think BJ's even seen Gone with the Wind, poor thing. But for those of you who do not know who John Wayne was, I think a lot of kids almost drowned because of John Wayne. Because there's this one movie where John Wayne throws this boy in a lake and says, learn how to swim. You know, it was like a river thing. And so the Lord doesn't give us a word and just say, hey, learn how to swim. He gives us help, and he uses that through the church and each other and community. And so so he started speaking to me about the practicals, and this is just what our family's doing. So this year I've budgeted to have a life coach, and I'm working closer with a holistic practitioner. I'm not saying anybody has to do this. This is just me. These are areas that I'm partnering with the Lord to get health in these areas, you know. And so, and then also I'm meeting with people who are older and wiser than me for coffee and on a consistent, regular basis. And so, anyways, and so I just feel like the Lord has very strategic, practical things that he's going to do in our midst on purpose. I think he's going to give a voice to the older generation to really raise up old 30-year-olds like me. And anyways, and so I just wanted to end that with God's heart is for his church to be healthy. And if you look at great evangelists of the past and missionaries and stuff like that, they kind of went out, you know, and they left their family behind sometimes, and they left, you know, their physical health on the altar to serve the Lord. And I feel like the Lord's saying, no, I want you to be healthy in all ways. And just as it is our heart, the Lord was telling me, for me to have healthy children, not just to get A pluses, but I want them not to be sick all the time. You know, I want them to be joyful. That is his heart for us to walk in health in all areas of life. And I feel like he's going to restore the areas that have been broken. So health. Yeah. Thank you.
I'll make mine quick. My name is Neil O'Malley. I help with the prayer room here. I feel like two words for a church that is an invitation is the greater, number one, is the greater work of rest in God, in the place of prayer that we have in Restoration Fellowship. And the second one is the place of contending for our loss, family members. So that was it.
Don't get lost. Testing. Okay. I just found out last night that we're going to have this today. So I said, well, I don't have anything yet, but I'll see about in the morning, you know. This morning, I said, Lord, do you want me to share anything today? And he laid out a plan real quick. I think I could do it in 3 minutes, Justin. You got a title? Okay, good deal. Okay. And if I were to title this, it would be A Practical Guide to Spiritual Warfare for Our Family and in Our Home. All right? And I got some stories on that, too. The idea of the authority that we have in Christ is just overwhelming that we have over the enemy. And let's go to Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. It says, be angry and yet do not sin, neither give any place to the devil. One time, this is years ago, probably 17, 18 years ago, I was angry. And I don't get angry very much, by the way. And I was angry, basically, at my wife. And so anyway, I was like ranting for like 20 minutes. And then it dawned on me, I go, huh. And this is that anger that you feel right here, you know. And I was angry at my wife, and I go, I wonder if this is demonic. And so I said, well, I resist you, Satan, and I command you to get out right now. And that anger left me, I can't snap very good, but it left me like that. I mean, it was gone. And I was amazed at the authority that we have in Christ and like that. In Ephesians 6:11, we're supposed to put on the full armor of God. And yet in 2 Timothy 2:4, it says, if you're a soldier in the Lord, you're supposed to refrain from entangling yourself in daily affairs because you want to please your commanding officer. And I got how to do that in our daily lives. And that's it's not to let our daily entanglements affect our spiritual warfare. In other words, you got to do it. Okay. Another thing about spiritual warfare, my sister was going through a lot of stuff. I mean, lots and lots of strife in her family. I told you about this. And so anyway, I said, oh, I know about spiritual warfare. So I text her, say this, all right? And, just to submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And so I basically told her, say, word for word, how to cast Satan out of your house. And she texted back and goes, I can't believe that worked. I can't believe we're we've been putting up with this for all these years, and it took just one phrase just to dispel Satan out of our home, all right? And so it happens that good, and it does work that well. It does really work because we have the authority to be able to do that in our home. Now, one thing I practically do, this is a practical thing that I do with my wife and my house, is that attitudes is a good indicator whether or not you're having demonic affairs in your house, right? Your attitude, your wife's attitude, your kid's attitude, okay? And so I had a plan. I recently did this in 2019. I just went around and to the house in a whisper, so not to wake up everybody, before everybody's, in this case, my wife. And so I wouldn't wake anybody up. But I would just say, any spirit that is not of Christ, leave now, all right? And I'd just go to every room so that they could hear it. I'm almost done. And so anyway, the contention in the house just went away immediately. And because I've had training and deliverance, and they said, no, you got to go the spirit of bondage or spirit of strife, spirit of this. No, just any spirit that's not of Christ, leave now, you know. And so that makes it so much easier. I'm almost done to see. And another one is to make sure that we are right with God. So repent of our sins so that they can't come in again, right? If God is faithful and just, if we confess our sins, to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we're right back into right standing immediately when we do that. And therefore, Satan has no hold to be able to get back into our lives again. So that's what I had to say. Was that 3 minutes?
So the fast has been just hearing from other people, and you said it this morning, but I feel like there was a lot of grace on this fast for a lot of people. And the word, even before the fast, that had been coming up. What's that? I can do that. The words that, not only in our body, but in others that were around, the word of tenderness has been coming up a lot. And a very sobering, a lot of sobering words this morning. So that's just, I want to start out in that way. The verses that I got during this fast was Malachi 3, a couple of places in there, and then ending off in Malachi 4. So the first one starts out in Malachi 3, 8 through 10, and it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. And try me in this now, says the Lord of hosts, and I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, and there will not be room enough to receive it." And I received this word for myself, and it's a top priority in my household, to set aside the tithes and offerings. And so I was questioning, you know, Lord, what are you saying? If there's something in my heart with my finances, I want that to be brought to the surface. And he started bringing up about tithing of your time, tithing of your relationships. And then this morning when I was sitting in the back, I felt like it was a word for the church. And then the same question came up of, Lord, I know that this body is giving. It is generous. Just thinking about the missionaries that we support, thinking about even our church budget itself, of how much of that is set aside for what the Lord is doing in the earth. And I feel like this year the Lord wants to call us even further into generosity. He wants us to call, even in our time, towards Him, of what are we doing behind closed doors? It is more important to be in the center of His will and to be in the center of His obedience than to do what is worldly correct or emotionally healthy or mentally healthy. A lot of those buzzwords are going around right now in the earth of, well, I just need to to do what's right for my mental health. It is more important to be obedient to what the Lord is calling you with your time, with your finances, with your relationships. If it comes up on Thursday nights and you're like, man, I really just need a night off from life group because I'm not feeling mentally or emotionally healthy, but you're feeling that tug from the Lord, it is more important to say yes to him than to say yes to being emotionally healthy or mentally healthy. I don't want to put that aside completely. The second thing I think has a lot to do with the words that were spoken in Malachi 3:16 through 17. I'm going to skip down through half the verse in 16. It says, "For those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name," and then it's in quotes, "they shall be mine, says the Lord." And just that fear of the Lord, that soberness that comes when we place the Lord first above all is something that he is proud of. His purpose for our lives is to encounter his goodness and to encounter who he truly is. And to not have the fears of man sway us from encountering the Lord. And then Malachi 4, he really didn't give any kind of specifics to that, but really just to this end. In Malachi 4, you know, it's talking about the great day of the Lord. It's talking about how we are in a refining fire to that day. And I feel like this is the year that the Lord is going to refine us in these things. Refine us in the soberness, in the fear of the Lord, and in obedience to his word over what is worldly correct. And that's it.
Come on up. So we got one more. No, it's 12:07. I want Meg to share, and then we'll do ministry time. So ministry teams, get ready. As soon as Meg's done, we just want to pray for people. Chase, get ready back there to put some ministry music on, and we'll dismiss.
Great. Thanks for being patient, everybody, and weighing these words from all of us. Like Justin said, we're all broken, so we're just broken vessels trying to give you what we feel like the Lord has given us to give you. So here we are. Shortly, the thing about words, and I'm going to like share short words, but there's so much that the Lord gives us or gives me that we can't give to you. We can't tell you all the feelings we had about these things or all the pictures or whatever. So yeah, just really take these to the Lord in prayer. So Friday night of the prayer set, I was praying over an intercession time, and the Lord had me reading Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, and I kind of didn't believe what he was saying. And I just heard him speak. He said, "I do not lie." And I was reminded that God is not a man. He doesn't need to lie. He doesn't need to put things in the word that are untruthful. So what I read was, I'll just read Jeremiah 9:24. "But those who boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me, the Lord, and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love, who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken." So I didn't, at first I said, "Lord, you do not delight in like demonstrating unfailing love." And he said, "I do." So I think over this year, we're going to hear things that we maybe don't believe the Lord actually says. And he does delight in just demonstrating unfailing love. He loves that. He loves to do that. So then on Wednesday night, our life group was praying over words for our life group. And I saw a picture of between Daniel and Leah Smucker of like a circle of electricity. I don't know if they even exist, but anyway, it was completed, and the Lord said, "Complete and unity." And today I was praying about it again, and the Lord reminded me of something that Neil O'Malley said, that prayer, corporate prayer and personal prayer, complete something. And so what I think the Lord was trying to convey in that was that unity in prayer will engage a circuit of electricity. Because if you don't have the two parts complete, it won't work. Right? So, like, you won't see electricity work unless both sides are connected. So I think the Lord is kind of pushing us towards, like, prayer has to be connected. So personal prayer has to be connected to corporate prayer. Husband and wife need to be connected in prayer. Friends need to be connected in prayer. Life group. All of us need to be connected to prayer in relationship with other people and with the Lord, obviously. So, and I just felt like the prayer was going to bring unity into families, into marriages, into the body. So just encourage you to pray with one another.
All right, gang.